life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and that Christ has promised you his wealth untold, count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor the home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Comes from you.
comes from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father of lies. Father of lies. Father of lies.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. As always, week after week, it is good to be with you whenever, wherever, however you are listening. Good to be with you as we continue exploring what is this uncommon gospel. Astonishing, surprising, out of the ordinary. Noting, as we did last week, at the very heart and center of this uncommon gospel is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the upside right kingdom. A kingdom that is the very heartbeat of the Jesus message. But not only that, because also at the very center of this kingdom is an invitation to you and me toward a particular way of being in the world, a way that is intimately connected, think last week, with Isaiah 61. In a world then and now of power structures, of inequality and injustice, bias and discrimination and prejudice, in a world of greed and self-centeredness, it is in the midst of that we read Isaiah 61. We read of this kingdom way, reaching out to the poor and brokenhearted, to those in bondage, imprisoned, and vulnerable. A kingdom that goes the way of hospitality, goes the way of care and compassion and generosity, goes the way of sacrifice and inconvenience. And Jesus says in Matthew 4 and 17, this way, he says, has come near. Meaning, is again, as we touched on last week, we could say it is right in front of you. It is brushing up against your cheek. We see this really come to life, noting has come near is a translation of the Greek word engizo, which is written in what is called the perfect tense. And that has significance for us because if written in the present tense, engize, it would have expressed what scholars call the standard eschatological hope, meaning a future event. It's something that is on the way, something that will be experienced someday in the future. However, engizo, having been written in the perfect, writes the scholar R.T. France, this is not the language of an event still in the future, but of one now in process of happening. Meaning this kingdom of God life, again, not a place, not a location, but a way of being in the world, doing life and relationships. It is not something for someday off in the distant future. It is not something for when we die. But it is here in Jesus. It is now in Jesus. It is right where we live in Jesus. The one called the Apostle Paul, I think, captures the reality of this experience, and this is where I want to settle in for today. We touched on this a number of years ago now, but let's head over to Philippians, what is an ancient letter. And reading from chapter 3, it says, their mind is set on earthly things, but, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, to get the fullness here, we need to do some work. And to start, let's flip back, chapter 1, verse 27, what ancient rhetoric tells us is the central verse of this entire letter, what the scholar Gord Fee calls the interpretive key to the whole. And chapter 1, verse 27 reads, whatever happens, and with that we can think of our world today, all of the stuff, all of the whatever that is happening all around us. Whatever happens, and then Paul writes, conduct yourselves in a manner, more on that phrase in a moment, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, a little Greek for us to parse out here, keeping in mind I'm not a scholar, I'm really not that smart, but I am aware that phrase, conduct yourselves in a manner, is one word in Greek, one Greek word, politoumai. It's where we get the word politics, and literally translates to live as citizens. Meaning, chapter 1, verse 27, what is the central verse, what is the interpretive key to the whole? That can be translated, whatever happens, live as citizens worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, why does that matter? And I'm glad you asked. Foremost, because the word citizens from chapter 3, verse 20 is the same Greek word as in 1 and 27, albeit in the noun form. And that matters because it intimately connects these verses. And that matters because it affects then how we interpret what Paul is communicating, both in 1 and 27 and 3 and 20, and really throughout the whole of the letter. Now, just briefly, to get underneath all of that, first note, Philippi was a Roman colony. And a colony in the Roman Empire, by definition, was a city outside of Rome that was granted by Caesar the exact same legal status as Rome. It was said a colony was quite literally Rome away from Rome, meaning Philippi was effectively Roman soil. Those residing in Philippi were considered Roman citizens, which was a big deal, right? It meant things like exemption from paying taxes, protection under Roman law and justice. Now the flip side is that because Philippi was granted status as a Roman colony, there was this deep loyalty to Caesar and to the empire, a deep loyalty precisely because the Roman Empire, and specifically Caesar himself, had granted you citizenship. In imperial language, you have been granted salvation. And your job, your activity, your way of being in the world and doing life and relationships as a Roman citizen living in this colony was to bring Roman culture, the Roman way of life, to bear right where you live. In this case, to bring Roman culture and influence to Philippi. And we can think customs, language, education, art, philosophy, all of it. In short, Caesar grants Philippi Roman status. The Philippians are granted Roman citizenship. And consequently, residents of Philippi then are called in response to live as citizens of the kingdom of Rome, to live as citizens of the gospel of the empire, to live as citizens of the good news of Caesar. What is a way of being in the world, of doing life and relationships? And with that in mind, Paul writes this letter to followers of Jesus living in Philippi. And in chapter 1, verse 27, he writes, whatever happens, meaning in the midst of all the stuff of life, whatever happens, live as citizens of the gospel, not of Caesar, but of Jesus. Not, Paul writes in 3 and 20, as citizens of the Roman kingdom, but our citizenship is in heaven. Keeping in mind, this is not at all meaning someplace you go when you die. This is not at all meaning someplace else other than here and now. In effect, Paul is calling followers of Jesus in Philippi to live as an alternative colony. He is, in effect, Paul is saying, listen up, as citizens of heaven, as citizens of heaven gathered together, you are a colony, not of Rome, but of heaven, not under Caesar, but under Jesus. To live not Roman culture and philosophy and values, to live not worldly power and influence, but to live the way of the colony of heaven, to live kingdom culture and values and influence. Right here and right now, in the midst of whatever happens. Again, Paul is not saying this is not your home, you belong somewhere else, so disconnect from, separate from this world. In fact, Paul is making quite the opposite point. A colony works the other way around. In a colony, the citizens don't long to get out. The dream is not about going someplace else. The dream for a citizen in Philippi is not about going to Rome. The dream is that Philippi becomes as it is in Rome. And so it is in the same way to live as citizens of the colony of heaven. The dream is not about going to or getting to heaven. The dream is that on earth becomes as it is in heaven. The dream is to bring kingdom of heaven, culture and values and influence to bear on earth, to bear right where we live. And we can think Isaiah 61, care and compassion for the poor, the sick, the brokenhearted, clothing and shelter for the vulnerable, hope and healing for those imprisoned in bondage. We can think Micah 6 and 8, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly. We can think Jesus, to do to others as you would have them do to you. I think all of which invites us then to consider, which dream are we living? Are we living the dream of going to heaven? Is that our dream? Is that our focus? Or are we living the dream of bringing on earth as it is in heaven? And think, right here and right now, right where we live, which dream are we living? Which dream is my life pursuing? Right? If you were to reflect on how you are spending your time, your energy, your thoughts, your money, your efforts, if you were to reflect, which dream would be revealed as your life's pursuit? We could ask it like this: does my life today reflect the way of the kingdom of heaven? Does my life today reflect the way of kingdom culture? Am I bringing kingdom values and influence to bear in my world? And we can think justice, humility, generosity, forgiveness, mercy, caring for the poor and the sick, water for the thirsty, food for the hungry, loving our neighbors as ourselves. What would it look like for me to bring kingdom culture and influence and values to bear right where I live? Right on earth, as it is in heaven, in my neighborhood, my family, friends, strangers, even enemies, to those who think like me, to those who don't think like me, to live this way of the kingdom right here and now as it is in heaven. And then with that, to consider maybe what needs to change. What in my life needs to change that I might bring kingdom culture and values to bear on my world? Maybe I need to ask, what priority do I need to shift? What attitude do I need to adjust? What appointment do I need to make? What person do I need to reach out to? Right? What needs to change? What in my life needs to change that I might bring kingdom culture and values to bear on my world? What would it look like today, in this moment, in this situation, for me to bring kingdom culture and values to bear on my world? Paul writes 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. And he writes 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner, live as citizens of the gospel of Jesus. Live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, right here, right now, on earth. He then goes on to say, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm. I will know that you stand firm, that you stay true, live into, persist, persevere. In other words, keep living the dream. Let's pray. God, we thank you for, as always, your word to us. We thank you, Lord, for the call that you put upon our lives. Not that it's just about something out there someday, but right here, right now, you invite us to live the way of your kingdom, the way of Jesus, to live the Jesus message, to live this uncommon gospel, to reflect your kingdom, justice, humility, generosity, forgiveness, mercy, to live and to reflect your kingdom right here, right now, right where we live. May that be true for each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.